We're on. Let's now learn some Navi. We're up to Paragudalit. We're up to Pasuk Beis. We just began to we began to discuss Pasuk yesterday. We just read the Pasuk. We didn't even do anything in the Farshim. On page 200. Kichu imochem devadim v'shuvu el Hashem. Okay, it's a nice song. Who made this song? There's a very nice song that the words are attached to the melody. Take with you words, v'shuvu, return to Hashem. Imrei love, say to Hashem, demand of Hashem, kol tisa avoin, which we learned yesterday, can only be translated if we take the words and read them out of order. You say to Hashem, imrei love, say to Hashem, tisa kol avoin, forgive all of our sins. Why is it out of order? I don't know, but that's how it is. The kach toiv, maybe because we have too much chutzpah. Maybe it might be too much of a chutzpah to say to Hashem, tisa kol avoin, so the words are out of order. The kach toiv, take in your possession toiv. Unshalma toiv, I told you yesterday, means one interpretation means Torah. Torah is ki lekach toiv nasati lachem, unshalma forim sifoseinu, and let your lips... And let your lips be in the neshalma pay, or hashlama means it should be. You know, we have to see it in the farshim. A more precise translation. We always translate this that in galus, neshalma fadim sefasin was a very famous pasuk. Is that let our lips? We also have to read it backwards. Let our lips be in exchange for the parim that were offered in the Beis HaMikdash. We cannot offer a par as a carbon, so instead let us pray to Hashem, and our tefillos will be in the place of carbonos, and that's indeed why we daven today. Chazal and Masakin, there are three tefillos, Shacharis, Mincha Marv, Shacharis, Kneg, Ritomish, Shachar, Mincha, Kneg, Tomish, Myriv is Kneg, the burning of the Imurim on the Mizbeach the entire night.
Check around if there's still in the light.
It's fine. Okay, now let's see what it is over here in the parish of the Mitzvot Zavik. But back was not working. Okay, let me put it up higher. Okay, now I put it up higher. All right, better now. Okay, good. Let's take a look over here at what it says in the Mitzvot. Mitzvot pasik gimel. The Mitzvot says kichui machem devadim. Eini shoyel mimchem zivachim bi'oilois. Hashem does not demand from us sacrifices. Sacrifices cost money. Animals cost money. Elo kichu imachem devarim. Not only cost money, you have to remember in ancient times. Can you imagine the effort? Can you imagine how much labor is involved in bringing a carbon? You have to shecht it. First, you have to bring it. You got to bring it. You know what it costs transportation to bring the animal, and you have to feed it. When you bring, you have to feed it, and then you have to slaughter it, and then you have to mekabel the dam. Yeah, then you have to flay it to remove the skin. You have to cut it to pieces, and you have to clean it. And you have to do a bedika, and then you have to put it on the mizbeach. Do you know how much firewood? How much firewood you need in order to consume an animal? You have to chop down a whole tree. Who's gonna chop down the whole tree? Yeah. You know how much effort is involved in cutting down a tree and transporting the wood and inspecting it and cutting it down to size to bring it to the surface of the Mizbeach, and then there's gonna be ash, and you're gonna have to take the ash and bring the ash, cart the ash, the wheelbarrow out into the Beis HaDeshen, and then you have to deal with all the environmentalists who are going to tell you that you wouldn't the environment with all you have to have a response team. So all the people that are going to argue with you, it's a lot of work. We don't appreciate how much, because we're spoiled rotten today. You just turn on a switch and there's light. You turn on the range, there's this fire. You go to the store, you can buy anything you want. So we're spoiled rotten. But in ancient times, what it meant to bake a piece of bread, forget about earning the money to purchase the raw materials. The amount of time it took to prepare a loaf of bread is mind-boggling. You know what it was to wash a garment in ancient times? Just to wash a garment? It is mind-boggling the amount of labor that was involved to do the simplest things that we today take for granted. We take for granted, we don't have to lift a finger and it's all done for us, or it's done by a machine. It's really not to be believed. how far this world has gone in technology to make people's lives easier. And the day will come. There are people out there in the world that suffer very much. Okay, the third world nations. But the day is going to come when the whole world is not going to. There's not going to be a difference. The day will come when human rights will spread to the whole world. And it's just remarkable. And here Hashem is saying, I don't need all this labor, this effort, this yigia. All I want you to do is to open up a siddur and daven. It's just kavana, and that is the same exact thing. El kuchu imochem devarim she tisvadu lifanav uvozet toshuvu l'Hashem, confess, and through your confessions you will return to Hashem. Now it's important to know that in the Perush of the Mitzudos he takes the word devarim to mean literally words. Take words. Now the word kuchu is not really the correct word. Is not, if you were writing the pasuk, you would not connect the word kichu with the word divarim. Words are something which are not tangible. The hevel p'em is just air coming out of your mouth. Kichu has a connotation of taking something physical, taking something that you can touch. So the word divarim, if it means words, does not really, it's more figurative, it's more of a metaphor, a figurative expression. Take Imochem, with you words. You wouldn't write this. You would not. You would say speak. You would say you use the word amira, dibur, some other expression to associate with words. Therefore, we're going to see in a few moments that is why the other commentators disagree with Mitzvos. And when it says the word divarim, divarim does not mean speech. Divarim means maasim toivim. You want to do teshuvah. Prove it. Show me that you're really sincere. What does it mean to be sincere? When was the last time you went to visit someone in the hospital? When was the last time you went and you went to the cemetery and buried a dead person? When was the last time you went and did chesed? You went and you helped an old person, bought them food. You went to the store and you bought them food. I want to see something. Divarim means matters. Not words. Talk is cheap. I want to see things that you can touch. Kichu, take, meaning, that's right. Something. The word kach means take something physical. When I will see that you are involved in chesed, and you are active, you're active out there in the world. You don't just sit in the Beis Medrash and learn the whole day. You actually go out into the world and you do something, then, and for Hashem's sake, to take action. Excellent. To take action. Action requires something physical, then I'll know that you're sincere. Just lip service is not going to help you. So this is a very fundamental machlokes in the Pshuta Shel Mikra of Kichu Imochem Devarim. The Mitzudos is learning that Devarim means dibur, speech. And then you have to struggle with the word kichu, and he holds it's not a problem. You can use the word kichu, which normally means take something physical. We could use it. We could associate it with dibur as well. But we have to appreciate that Allah l'havi asaraya. The Mitzudos has put himself in a difficult position by connecting the word kichu with the word devarim, which means speech. Further, let's go to the next page. Next page, page 203, kol tisa avoyin. This is a very unusual expression. Hu hafuch. There is no way you can possibly translate these words in sequence. You have no choice but to change the order. And when it says kol tisa avoyin, it means kol avoyin tisa. Change the order. Return aloymar. Imru bisfila. Say to Hashem in your prayers, michol. Tisa is another word for forgive. It means to lift up, to put away, to put to the side. Kol ha'avon, all of our sins, and all of our sins be forgiven. Uvimokom ha'avon, and in the place of the avon, kach toiv, tumura, so taking its place, the toiv. And here he says, here when it says toiv, he learns here, toiv is ma'asim toiv. Here it means chesed. Kiloimar, ma'asei ha'toiv. And now that you see the word kach fits like a glove. If toiv here in this context means ma'asim toivim, something physical, then indeed it makes logical sense why the word kach is associated with the word, it's the verb for the toiv. Sha'asinu yo'asinu, take the good deeds that we have done, yogain mul he'avoin, it will serve as a shield it will serve as protection from punishment for the sins that we have committed. Next, Unishalma Fodim Sifosein. The word Unishalma is not an easy word to translate. And Ritzon Eloimar, he apologizes. Whenever the Metzudo says the word Ritzon Eloimar, this is a stop sign. Come to a complete stop. When was the last time you ever did that in New York City at a stop sign to come to a complete stop? Anyone even know what that is? Out of town, go drive to another state, like a New Yorker, boy, are you in trouble. Go to Boston, I go to Boston sometimes. You drive in Boston like you drive in New York, they'll spit on you. Okay.
My son lives in Cleveland, he goes crazy because it says 25 miles an hour. Everyone goes 25 miles an hour. He wants to go 35, like everyone else here.
In New York, you go to out of town and you drive like a New Yorker. They see a New York license plate out of town. They stay far away. Tome Yikra. In Boston, everyone comes to a complete stop at a stop sign. That's it. You come to a stop. So if you're not used to doing that, like in New York, which is legal, but everyone does it anyway because it's a shirash, and here in Boston, you're crazy. You're mamash ratzeach. So here, whenever the Mitzudos David says the words Ritzoinoi Loimar, or for example, Rashi, whenever Rashi says the words Kloimar, the word Kloimar, you know what that means? It means come to a complete stop and recognize that what I'm about to tell you now is not the literal translation of the pasuk. There is no way you can possibly translate the words literally. You have to embellish the pasuk by either adding words or translating the words.
In other words,
whenever you have that Ritzoyna Loimar and the Mitzudas Rashi Kloimar, it means you cannot in any way translate these words literally. You have to do good morning. You have to be creative. You have to either have a very liberal translation of the pasuk, or embellish the translation with many, many more words in order for it to make sense. So here, this is a pasuk which we say 1,000 times, Unishalma Farim Sifoseinu, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash b'zman hazeh, and this is the makar to teach us that our tefillos are the equivalent of bringing korbanos. And if you want to translate the words literally, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, because the word Unishalma is not a word which fits. Shalma means complete. Shalem means complete our parim with our lips. What does that mean? That's why the Mitzudo says, you can't translate these words literally. The word in exchange for korbanos, parim nishalem bividui, we will pay our debt of offering parim with confession, which is the sifoseinu. So he's saying over here the word shalma means we will pay our debt. We have a debt to Hashem of bringing a carbon. We cannot bring the actual carbon. So the way we will be shalem, we will be complete, we will have paid off our dues, we will be through parim, the way we'll pay our debt for the parim that we are obligated to bring, in exchange, we'll bring sifoseinu, our lips will express, we'll recite vidui, will be mispalel, and that will be the same thing. Rashi, pasuk beis, Rashi, pasuk gimel. Kichu imachem devarim, enay mevakel shmichem mamayim. Hashem, I don't want from you. I don't want for you money. I want ela devarim shel teshuvah. So Rashi seems, on a very simple level, to be following the same approach as the Mitzudos. That when it says devarim means words, devarim, I'm assuming it means words. Devarim shel teshuvah. I don't want your money. I want devarim. Not necessarily. I don't know. He doesn't really translate the word devarim.
How about tzedakah, the money?
No, Hashem says, you know, any mivakish, I don't want money. Animals cost money. You want to give tzedakah? I don't know. It doesn't say that. I don't want from you mamon. I want devarim shel teshuvah. Many mitzvahs you're not mechuyif to pay money for. For example, the classic example of this is kibud av v'em. You're not mechuyif to spend your own money to mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av v'em. The Torah wants action. The Torah says, feed your parents. Who's going to pay for it? They have to pay for it. You use their money to feed them. Let's say they don't want to give you any money. Should I take my own hard-earned money? And
they don't have.
Let's say they don't have. Let's say they don't have. They're no different then than doing chesed. The same way you give charity, you're not mechuyev. There are many mitzvahs that you're not mechuyev to spend your own money. Well, hey, when it comes to a lulav and an esrog, you have no choice. You have to put that. Then you are mechuyev. But when it comes to certain mitzvahs, you're not mechuyev to spend your money. There's a very funny story about a certain Talmud. He went to his rashi and he said to him, my parents want me to come home bein hazmanim. Bein hazmanim, the yeshiva is over. I would really like to hang out here in yeshiva and do whatever I'll do over here, go on trips and have a vacation over here. My parents want me to come home. But they live very far away. And they have not sent me car fare. So I'm potter. I don't have to go because I have a mitzvah of kibud avo. I'm not going to be learning anyway. I have mitzvah of kibud avo. What the halacha is, the money, the one who pays for the mitzvah are the parents. They did not send me a ticket to go back home. So I'm potter. So the Rebbe says, you're not potter. Walk home. You mechuyev to kibud avo aim. That's right. It's their money. They don't want to give you money. So you're not mechuyev to spend money. So walk. How long will it take you to walk home? It'll take you 2 weeks. So get going. Start hiking. Start walking 2 weeks. If they send you a ticket, okay, you would have been there within a few hours. They didn't send you a ticket. The mitzvah is the same mitzvah. So walk for free. So even though at times the Torah does not require you to spend money, we all know whatever it is, we know what we know. Let's go to the next Rashi. Rashi kol tisavoin kol avoinosenu selach. All of our sins forgive. Rashi is the same thing as the mitzvah. You have to read the words out of order. V'kach toif. V'lamdenu derech toif. Here we have a new novel translation, Rashi, in this first interpretation. The word kach means teach us. Now, where do you get that? Where do you get the word kicha? Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that kach ko is very close to saying lekach ko, which tov being the synonym for Torah, ki lekach tov, a thousand times.
Lekach, yeah. Ki lekach tov nosati lechem. What is a lekach?
That's the standard 30 pasuk quoted.
So what does lekach mean? What is the good translation for the word lekach? Ki lekach toiv. What does it mean? What is the article translation of ki lekach?
Didn't memorize their translation.
Is a teaching. Lekach is a teaching. That's right. Lekach, which we translate as a teaching of good. You look on Google Translate. Ki lekach toiv. It's a teaching. So he's being consistent here in this context where it says v'kach toiv. V'lamdeinu derech toiv. Kach can also mean to teach. What's the source? What's the makar for that? I mean, lekach there also means a teaching of good. I think that's what the standard type of article translation. Lekach toiv nosati lochem, a teaching of good I've given you. Why is the word lekach related to the word teaching? I do not know. But here Rashi is consistent, and when it says v'kach toiv, V'lamdeinu derech toiv, teach us, we should say to Hashem, teach us a good path in life. And Hashem then is, it's a very, very, very demanding pasuk. Hashem is not just telling you, do it. Hashem is telling you that you should demand from me that I teach you. That's quite a tall order. It's one thing you just, okay, I'll pay my dues. I'll show up. I'll do what I need to do. And when the lesson is over, I'm out of here. No, Hashem wants us to have the desire. Wants us to say to Hashem, teach us. When a person has a desire for something, it's a whole different experience. It's not limited to time. It can go on forever. Davar acher, another interpretation. Me'at ma'asim toivim shebiyodeinu kach biyotcha. The word kach does not mean to teach. It means to take. Take in your possession. Vishoftenu acharehem, use that as an influence to decide our judgment. V'chein David oimer, milafonecha mishpati yetzei, einecha techezena meisharim, may my judgment go forth from before you. May your eyes, Hashem, look upon the righteous deeds that I have done.
I want to just, for a second, go off the tangent back to Lekach. Lekach is a Yiddish word
for
sponge cake. Sponge cake.
Lekach, right, lekach.
Lekach means you take so much, you absorb it like a sponge.
Okay. All right, interesting. It's Yiddish, Yiddish. Lekach. You go to the Rebbe, you get lekach. By Hasidic shita, it was by Hasidim. Lekach, lekach. I first time I saw lekach, I never saw it, but for Erev Rosh Hashanah, I was still working, and I told you in the summer in Bar Park, so I used to wear Emunas Yisrael. So there, the Gabbai, he had, it was packed. And he had boxes and boxes and boxes of sponge cake. And the whole shul, the Gabbai, not Rabbi Wolfson, the Gabbai, and the whole shul came all lined up to him on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he gave everyone sponge cake. Erev Yom Kippur? No, I thought it was Erev Rosh Hashanah.
The Gabbai gives to the
Rabbi. No, so the Gabbai, why? Because everyone has tainus on the Gabbai. Everyone, why didn't you give me an aliyah? Why didn't you let me die for the Amid? So they have Erev Yom Kippur. The Gabbai has to appease all the people by giving them a gift. That's the minig by Hasidim. The Gabbai has to be mefayes all of the people in the shul, for they should not have tainus on him when they go into the Yomim Noroim, and he gives them some sponge cake. Easy, right? It's so easy, just give them sponge cake. That's all you have to do in life, and you make someone happy. Maybe. Dover acher v'kach, now we have a third interpretation. Dover acher v'kach, toiv v'kabel hoidoya me'itanu. Toiv means accept. Kabel here, kach means to accept. E hoidoya, praise me'itanu, shenemar. Toiv lehoidois la'Hashem. Being that the word toiv is associated with hoida, it's a substitute for the word giving praise, giving thanks. So when it says the word kach in this context, it means accept. The bottom line here is Rashi has provided us three very different interpretations of what the word kach and what the word toiv is. According to the first interpretation, toiv means a derech toiv, a good path in life. And thus, kach means teach us. We should say to Hashem, teach us how to live a good life. Second interpretation, toiv means maisim toivim. Maasim tovim. Kach means Hashem, focus on them when you judge us. Kach means this is what you should focus on. Not take, not accept, or teach us. Focus on these good deeds when you judge us. The third interpretation is kach means accept. Accept our praise. Hoida. Now the Mitsudos said none of the above. Right, the Mitsudos, he said, kach means, it means, timuroso ma'aseha toiv, kach means an exchange for our sin, it should be a protection. I think the Mitsudos is the most similar to Rashi's second interpretation, is that we have sins, Hashem will ask you to overlook our sins, so focus on our ma'asim toivim, and that will protect us from punishment. Okay, so we can really say that this is perush number two in Rashi, but Rashi gives three perushim, and either to teach us, focus on, or accept. None of the perushim does Rashi say means to take. Doesn't say take. Maybe in the second perush, it's similar to taking, but it's not exactly the same. Okay, let's go further in Rashi. Uneshal mufadim shehayo lanu lahakri lefanecha. Instead of the parim, which we are obligated to give you, nishalem oisam beritzu, divrei sifaseinu, let us exchange it with words of goodwill. Words of goodwill should be in exchange for our parim. Let's take a look at the Radak. Radak, pasuk beis, going back to the previous pasuk, pasuk gimel, back to the previous pasuk, page 201, kichui mechem devarim, ein ashel mechem beshuva, loy chesed, vizav, loy lois, al devarim toivim. Ah, so you see over here, the mitsudos, good words. He learns words, confession. Zidui. Dvar means words. V'shuvul Hashem, b'b'chol v'avchem, v'lo b'sfasai b'lvad, return to Hashem with not just lip service, but with your hearts. Your heart has to be, you have to have kavana, you have to be sincere. Oy perushoy, sh'tashuvu, sh'tisvadu, l'fodov, you should simply confess. On the next page, imru elav, kiloimar, Imru lifonov kadvar moyel v'chayetz bohem kol tis avayin. He also changes the order. Sof is the third mefarish. It changes the order. Kol avoyim tisav. Who hafuch? He has an expression which you have to reverse the words. Kimoi makoim sham kever, which there means shukmo mikoim kever sham. Just like in that pasuk, we have to reverse the last two words. Likewise, here we reverse the two words, the order of perushai, or la kol. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. He's saying, don't reverse it. For all. For
everyone.
What?
For everyone.
La all, or for all people. Aha. Call all human beings. Tisa avayin. Okay, very good. Okay, I didn't understand. Now you taught me. Very good. So there, do not reverse the words. And it means all people. Instead of the word called modifying sin, Kol is coming to modify human beings. Hashem, you should forgive Lakol, all human humanity, all, well, at least all Klal Yisrael, Tisa Avoyim, forgive their sins.
So, the dash between the Kol and the Tisa, that's Nekudas or what?
No, that's not a Nekudas. That is a Metz. That means it's connected. The two words are connected.
It's not a Kol.
So that's a Mesoira. That's part of the Mesoira. The Mesoira is it's connected. The reason why it's part, there's no Trup. Whenever you do not have a tameh hamikra, then usually the words are connected. So here he's saying very good. He's saying over here is how can we go and translate the out of order when the pasuk, the way our tradition is no trup on the word kol, which means it must be connected to the word tisa, and then that would not allow you to say kol avoin, to connect the word kol to avoin, and then say the word tisa. It's a very good point. So it would make much more sense according to Rashi, kol. Well, even according to the Radak doesn't fit well either, because according to the Radak, the word kol is as an independent expression. Kol, all human beings. According to what you're saying, a mayor, that's correct. Tisa, forgive avon, forgive their sins. Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means kol tisa, la kol tisa. I don't know. I didn't pay attention. You're right. It's a very interesting idea. What's the word kol? Maybe we'll see. Maybe there's another mafarish I didn't pay attention to when I prepared. We'll take a look. We'll go further. Okay. I have things marked down here. I forget very easily. We'll see in a moment. Maybe there's another interpretation. Okay. Let's go to the next radak. The next radak is in the Unshalma Fonim Sefaseinu. Radak says Unshalma Bimkoim Parim Nishalma Lefanecha Vidu Sifa Seinu. Instead of offering Parim, let our lips be in exchange. Kiata Reitza Bidivit Teshuva Yoitzer Min HaKabonis. Hashem wants sincerity more than Kabonis. Ki Ein HaKabonis Ma'ilis Beloi Vidu He'avain. We all know that Kabonis are meaningless unless there is sincerity. Ki Bekulam Nemar V'Hisfado Asher Chata. When a person brings a Karbon, he must confess. It's a process. He comes to the Beis Hamikdash, he confesses these words that accompany the bring of a karban. And in fact, the Soyer HaMishtaleach of Yom Kippur, they sent over the cliff, there was no blood. No part of that animal went upon the Mizbeach. The only thing that was done to that animal, the Soyer HaMishtaleach on Yom Kippurim, was Vidui. The Kohen Gadol confesses upon the Sohir HaMishtaleach all of the sins of Klal Yisrael. So you see, the Iker is Vidui. The proof is Yom Kippur, the primary carbon that is Mechaper for all of the sins of Klal Yisrael. None of its blood or fats or meat was offered upon the Mizbeach. The entire animal was just thrown off the cliff, and the only element of kapara that was done to that karbon to atone for the sins of Klal Yisrael was words, was the vidui, the confession of the Kohen Gadol. Ubisar mishlech lo hoye ele vidu dvarm, ki lo hoye karv bimenu dvar al gavya mizbech, ele ha vidu kemoy shnemar, visvado Allah ves kol avonis bnei Yisrael. Okay, it's a beautiful radak. Coming to emphasize a very powerful point for Yom HaKippurim. Now, Rosh Chodesh Tamil, as the Farshim say, is the beginning of Yom Kippur. It's the beginning of Yom Kippur. Why is Rosh Chodesh Tamuz the beginning of Yom Kippur? Because what happened on Yom Kippur? Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the for for the worshipping of the eagle. And that was a process that spanned 120 days. Moshe came down on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. He smashed the Luchos. He went to Shemayim to be Mespalel, that Hashem should forgive us. After 40 days, Hashem said Hashem partially forgave us. And then Moshe spent the next 80 days. He went to Shemayim for 40 days. Then he came down to Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. From Shiva Asa B'Tammuz until Yom HaKippur is 80 days. 40 of those days he was mispalel for Klal Yisrael, and 40 of those days Hashem taught him the Luchos, taught him Torah, the new Luchos, the Luchos Shniyos. And then on Yom Kippur he came down with the new Luchos, Vayomer Hashem Solachti Chidvarecha. So Yom Kippur was the Hashlama of what happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. On Shiva Asar B'Tammuz he shattered the first Luchos, and Yom Kippur, he got the second Luchos to replace them. So since Rosh Chodesh, now we begin Chodesh Tammuz. Tammuz, in the most significant event of Tammuz is Shiva Asa B'Tammuz Ashuras al Luchos, and that was rectified on Yom Kippur. So the Mefarshim says now already is a time a person should begin to think about Yom Kippur when you come into the month of Tammuz. Next. So here we have Yom Kippur, we have the Vidud. Let's take a look over here at the Malbum. Malbum Pasik Gimel, back in the previous page. Kichu, back on page 200. Kichu Yimachem Kichu Yikichu. Moisev Oid Sha'acha Shetagiyu Ad Hashem. Letiyu Kerev Me'itzlo Oz Tesifu Lehetiv Ma'aseichem. Lehaba, you should prepare for the future. V'lasos Teshuva Ma'ahava. Ad Shetichu Yimachem Devarim. Ah, so here you see with the Malbum, who is a modern person in the Malbim. He only lived very recently. And he's going up against Rashi, the Radak, and the Mitzudois. Malbim has a lot of guts, the Malbim. And he says the translation of the word Devarim does not mean words. Devarim means matters. Devarim means a matter. Let me see how sincere you are. Did you give tzedakah? Did you do chesed? What have you done for me lately? Hashem says, "Hainu in yonim." In yonim, the word devarim means in yonim, matters, acts of kindness. These acts of kindness will be your advocates in Shemayim. Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get the email? Hainu in yonim shehem yidabru v'yolitzu. Shelitzu, which will advocate on your behalf, Yosher, the Yelitzu Yosher Aleichem, an advocate of Yosher of uprightness on your behalf. The Alamdu Aleichem Schus will serve as a Schus of your merit for you. Shulchu Mitzvois Umasim Tovim She Taasu, that you will do. It does not mean words. We're dealing here with actions. Kichu imachem devarim does not mean words. Matters in yonim, which in Shemayim will be for you a zuchus. V'shuvah l'shenis el Hashem. V'hi ha'teshuvah me'alva. So he's saying something very beautiful. Here he's coming to Israel. Why does he say the word shuvah twice? I think the Chidas says the same thing also as well. We'll see this in a few moments. Look at the pasuk. It says over here, the pasuk base, we learned yesterday, it says, shuvah Yisrael. And now in Pasuk Gimel, it says the same thing again. V'shuvu el Hashem. How many times do you have to do teshuvah? Once is enough. No. The first time takes you from teshuvah me'averos. The first teshuvah is me'yira. And the second teshuvah is me'ahava. You can't skip steps. When you come to Elul, just don't think, oh, it's Elul, I'm right away going to do teshuvah me'ahava. No. You have to go through the steps. The first teshuvah is teshuvah me'yira. And when you complete in doing teshuvah me'yira, now you can first start all over again, and now you can do teshuvah me'ahava. Life is all about not skipping steps. You live in a generation where we live in the microwave generation. We want it hot, and we want it now. Hot and now. The microwave generation doesn't work like that in life. You can't skip steps. You got to go through the process. You can't come to Truv Me'ava, which is the Kisi HaKavai, the Averos, Azuchuyos. It says first, Pasuk Beis, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, this Shuva Meira, and now Pasuk Gimel, Kuchu Yimochem Devarim V'Shuvu Nochama. Do Shuva all over again. Now you can first do a Me'ava. Shuva Sheinis El Hashem. That's one little word over there in the Malbim, which opens up a whole world of appreciating how the process of Shuva works. V'hi ha'teshuva me'ava, sh'lo yuchshavu ha'zidoynes l'shkaga yitzrak l'zchuyos. Now we go to a higher madrega, it will become a zuchus. V'oz, back now, next page, page 203. V'oz lo tia ha'salicha bavur sh'yuchshav oynes u'shkaga u'mute. Then it's not going to be, Hashem is going to say, okay, you know what, I'll forgive you because it was an accident. You did not know better. Now when you do tshuva me'ava, now all of your sins are merits. Raktia haslicha alidei sheyira zichu yoseihem v'titko seihem sheyikhu imohem tildat imohem. Now you're going to come with you new ma'asim tovim. That's what this passage, you're going to bring with you ma'asim tovim, the devarim, which he learns is the inyonim. And the davar zuchus alehem, uv'zei yislach lochem hagam sheyuchshav shechotu tchil b'meizid. Even though in the beginning you did averis b'meizid, b'ro'isa she'achrei she'pashu negdoi shuvu l'ahavaso v'avadaso b'cholev v'lo miyiras ha'oinesh rak me'ava, then your averis are going to turn into merits. The oz, and then imru elov say to Hashem, kol tisa avoin v'kach toiv. How is he going to learn pshat? She'tisa kol avoin. That's exactly what everyone else said. Change the order. There's no way you can translate these words literally. You have to change the order. Hashem, forgive all the sins. Loi kama b'tchila shlo nasa es kol avod rak miktsasai. Now, there is one difference, though. The difference is, instead of learning the quantity of sins, the Malbim, l'shitasai, that says there's two different types of teshuva. There's a teshuva me'av and teshuva me'yira, is telling you the quality of the sin. He's touching the word kol. That's a very big debate. When you say the word kol, by the way, there are two words. There's all this, it's really grammar. It's nothing more than grammar, but after the grammar ends, some want to embellish it with drush. I once spoke to a big baki in Dikduk, and he was furious. He thoroughly disagreed with this, but it's not mine. I've seen this. There's kol with a komas and koil with a cholam. Can you really tell me the difference? Can you pronounce the difference? When you listen to the Baal Kriya, sometimes the Torah says kol, like here. There's a komatz underneath the chaf. And sometimes koil is spelled with a cholam. Mm-hmm. So if you're really yeshivish, if you're really yeshivish guy, and you say oi, all the o's are ois.
Oi.
So then there's a difference. There's koil. You say yeshivish. Koil. Yeshivish. If you're not yeshivish and you say like more modern, you know, all the girls, then it's kol. There's no yud.
Kol.
What?
I went to shiva with Rav Ras. I learned kol, not koil.
You didn't say the yuds, right? Neither did I. An MTJ, we never told us. They never.
Can you tell the difference between kol and kol? What? Can't you tell the difference between kol and kol?
If you're yeshivish,
kol does not get a if you
are yeshivish. In the yeshiva world, they add yuds. Why? I don't know. I don't know the answer why.
But even kol and kol,
it's chassidish.
It sounds different.
Kol
is a connecting word.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard to hear the difference. If you're yeshivish, if you're going to embellish, you're going to append a yud to every cholam, you're going to add a yud. Which is what Hasidim do for sure. I don't know what they do. I can't figure out what they're doing. But let's say in the
56, when the Hungarian Revolution came, the Hasidim came.
Yeah.
That's when all shifted over to the
But the Hasidim, they have a whole different set of rules. They can't.
They have no rules.
They have. I don't even know. I don't want to go there. Let's talk about in the Litvish world. Let's talk about in your yeshivas in this neighborhood, Torah Vadas, Mir Yeshiva, Chaim Berlin. These are Litvish yeshivas. They're not Hasidish yeshivas. Chervidas is still Hasidish. Let's talk about Mir Yeshiva. Mir Yeshiva, Chaim Berlin. The boys there are taught to say, to add a yud to every cholam. So it's not a cholam, it's cholam. 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 Where did that yud come from? I don't know. But that's what they're taught. I just did a bar mitzvah. I taught a boy how to lane. Now, when I grew up in the Lower East Side, I grew up in MTJ. That's how that's what they taught me how to read. When they taught me how to read, they didn't teach me. They didn't teach me the yuds. They taught me to read without the yuds, and I can't get out of my system. I can't get out of my system. So when I have an opportunity to lane, I usually lane just subconsciously without thinking, without the yud. I'll lane. So people comment to me that you don't sound like the other Balei Kriya. You don't have that yeshivisha sprach. So sometimes I try because if this is what you custom, you do whatever the customer wants. If I am asked to lay in the place where this is their minig, then I have an obligation to do what they want me to do. And if the minig where I daven is b'nei Torah, and that's what they've been trained to do, for better or for worse, that is their style of speaking. Someone once tried to explain to me the source of why it's not wrong, why it is possibly correct to do that. I don't remember all the alumnus. Fine. So that's what you're supposed to do. I try. So what happens is, the end of the day is, I end up doing 50-50. Half the words I end up saying with a oi, and the other half I end up saying without an oi. So how come...
Sometimes someone dunks in the oven and it's in between, it's switching back and forth.
Nishtahi, nishtahe, right? You're all mixed up. So that's what happens to me. No, that's because they could not pronounce a resh. A resh, for some bizarre reason, the Europeans had a very hard time with the letter resh. I actually have a tape. I have a tape somewhere at home. I don't know. I was really surprised. I never heard of Moshe. I never spoke to Rav Moshe. Never heard of Moshe. I have at home. I bought it. I paid a dollar for it. I remember what someone's bizarre as can be. Someone put a tape recorder next to Rav Moshe Feinstein when he davened Ma'ariv on a regular night. Okay, night in the middle of the winter. A guy put on a tape recorder right in front of Rav Moshe Feinstein to listen to him daven Ma'ariv. So, and they were selling it. So I bought it for a dollar. Not that long ago, a couple of years ago. And I listened, and it was an eye-opener how he read the words. He read the words in a very different way than I'm familiar with. And I don't know if I could find it. It was a very interesting way of reading words. I never heard such a style of reading, of saying words in his expression. All right, to each his own. Only point I want to make over here is how you have the word over here, the word call. Like I told a boy. So I told the boy how to lay with the yud, because that's where he comes from. He's part of this crowd. So it's not my business. I'm not here to change the world. It's not my business. I don't know anything anyway. What's right? What's wrong? But what's interesting is you have here two words: a word called kol and a word called koil. Sometimes it's spelled with a komatz, sometimes it's spelled with a cholam. That is only because of grammar. It has to do with the next word. If the next word, there are rules. I don't know the rules, but it's purely a grammatical requirement. There is no difference in translation between the word, if the word is spelled with a komatz or spelled with a cholam. It's purely a grammatical shift due to the next word.
Like ace and S has to do with if there's a trup or not a trup on it?
Ace always has a trup. S has no trup. You say another thing, there's no difference. You're right. There's no difference between ace and S. That's why you do not correct a Baal Kriya if he makes a mistake between ace and S. It's exactly the same. It's just a matter of grammar. When you give it a tsere, when you give, you do not. If it's, I don't know the rules. Now, however, how do you pronounce the words? So I just want to point out, if you're from the yeshiva world who adds a yud to a cholam, then there is a difference in pronunciation. Then it's going to be koil. There's a yud in between when there's a cholam between the chaf and the lamed. If you're from the more traditional approach of reading the words, then when you say the cholam, there is no yud. It's kol. Now, how do you pronounce it with a komatz? It's kol. Kol. It's a little bit deeper. It's hard, really. The average person has a hard time differentiating. If you're not going to add a yud to a cholam, there's almost no difference between saying the word kol with a cholam or saying it with a komatz. If you do add a yud to a cholam, then there is a difference. There is a difference between the two. You can hear the difference. Now, does it make a difference in translation? No. Why? Why komatz? Why cholam? Grammar.
Certainly,
however,
certainly at the end of a sentence,
yeah,
you're going to say kol
with a komatz, but no. You'll never with a cholam. You never have. You have the word at the end of this, the word kol at the end of a pasuk. You ever have a hechatimsa like that with the chof lam at the end of a pasuk?
Or bat kol.
Hashem is Aram Bakol. Okay, so then it's going to be the cholam. Then it's a cholam. Okay, fine. Here it's the beginning of a special. There's a komatz. It's grammar. That is the ikar. Now, then I once said this over, and there was a person in the audience who was a very big expert in grammar, and he was very, very upset. I said, besides the grammar, there's also really a difference in the translation of the word. When it's a cholam, it is quantity. It's coming to emphasize quantity. When it's a komatz, it's internal. Komatz kmitza. It's you're looking on the inside. You're coming to emphasize the quality. We're not looking to expand the scope. We're coming kol with a cholam. You're expanding the scope, the set. With a komatz, komatz means a kmitza. You're coming on the inside to focus. That so this person who was in the audience was very upset. He says, "This total nonsense what you're saying. This that wasn't my idea. I found this in the Sefer," and he says, "Total nonsense. There's no difference, quality, quantity. Expand the set. Go internalize in the set. It's just grammar. Nothing more than grammar. Don't get carried away here. It's grammar. When the beginning of the pasuk and the beginning of exception, like Yerem Michal says, there's a komatz." It has to do with rules of grammar, which I do not know what they are. Why you have a komatz or a cholam? But I'm now coming, telling you again, nochamol, that there is a difference between the two. And what do you see? You see a machloikis between the Malbum and Rashi in this matter. All the mefarshim say tisa kol avoin. If you make believe it would have been with a cholam, if it would have been with a cholam, then it would mean quantity. All of the sins. I've done 1,000 sins. Hashem is you a toiva, forgive every single last one of those sins. Is that what it means? Or maybe Hashem, I'm not asking for 1,000 sins. Let's just focus on the big ones. The big three. Let's just focus on the big sin. I do teshuva Hashem, so Hashem says, okay, you did teshuva, I'll forgive you 80%. 80%. But not 20%. The last 20%, you need to work on yourself. You need to do more mussar. You need to fast a few more times. You need to reflect. You need to be tested a few more times in order to get down to the last 20% of that one sin. So now when you say the Malbim, that's what the Malbim says. The Malbim says that if you do teshuvah meira, I forgive you 80%. Now, nochamol. Let's start all over again. This is the Malbim saying. The Malbim saying, you've done the Shuva Yisrael, Shuva Meira. Let's shenis. Let's start all over again. Kichui mochem devadim. V'shuvu al Hashem. Shuva mei ahava. Oh, now you're going to merit. Imre love. I've done Shuva twice. Meir meyava. Tisa kol ovoin. With a komatz. Now, you say to Hashem, I want the last 20% also to be forgiven. So, that's what the Malbim is saying. And also, it answers the question, why then is it out of order? Because if you would read it in order, would there be a cholam or a komatz? If you would read it in the other words, say, tisa kol ovad. I don't know the rules of grammar exactly, but I'm willing to bet that if you would read the words in the way we want to read it, the ideal way that it should be read, as both everyone apologizes, everyone, it's hafuch. It's an expression that's hafuch. So then it should say, tisa kol avoin. Let me ask you, if you would say tisa kol avoin, the way everyone suggests, would the chaf, would have a komatz or a cholam? No, I don't think it would be a cholam. Kol avoin would be with a cholam, no? You have to study Tanakh. You have to find examples and see the rules of grammar. I'm willing to bet that it will be with a chol. Okay, we have to go look. We got to go look.
We say nishmat kol asmatay tamar nomi.
Nishmas kol chai. I give you a silly. Nishmas kol chai.
It's a kol asmatay.
Let's look at one example in this Chatzila. It's an adjective.
So when it's kol, maybe it's a noun.
There's no such thing as all. All is always an adjective. It's always a modifier. Bakol.
Bakol, kol, kol.
No, you see, nishmas kol chai is a komatz. So what I'm saying is not necessarily correct.
It's a connecting word to
chai. Okay, but maybe over here there's an ayin. We have to look at the grammar. You have to look at the rules of grammar to understand when it gets a komatz, when it gets a cholam. It's the same word. The pashas is the same word. You have to look at the grammar. I'm showing out an idea, and I just this triggered this idea is because over here that's really the machlokes between Rashi and the Malbim. Rashi is saying it's the quantity of sins. The Malbim is saying we're now doing a second round of tshuva. It's the quality of the sin. And then it just triggers in my mind, there is such a drush, which is controversial, if you could even say such a thing. A difference between a komatz and a cholam in the word kol is referring to quality or quantity. And you see over here, there's something going on over here in this pasuk. Machlik is rashi in the Malbim. This requires...
Maaser mikol.
Maaser mikol. There's all of your maaser. All of us. Okay. So pay attention to the Baal Kriya on Shabbos, and whatever he says, Rabbi Yisai, whatever he says, you can scream out and say you said it wrong, because no one knows the difference anyway, right?
He says
Kadush,
he says,
the influence of the Hasidim. Okay, let's go further. So this is his very interesting interpretation. It was the second round. You can't interrupt in the second. You have to ask Yofer, a call also Yofer be'itah. You have to ask in the right time. Further. Now let's read the words one more time. Again, the Malbim, page 203. Let's read this again one more time. The Malbim, page 203. The first wide line. The yaz imre love kol tisa avoid the kach type words have to be changed in order. Shatisa kol avoid the entire quality of the sin has to be forgiven. Like my batchilah shlo nasa es kol avoid rak miktsas. Not like when you did true in the yira. Hashem only forgave you only 80% of the sin. Ki adai nishar chet shoygeg, because even though Hashem forgave you for the element of being amazed, it's only been transformed into a shoygeg. Okay, it's an accident, but it's still a sin. It's still there. There's still some lingering 20% of the aver is still there. Viata, now that you're going to go through round two, shuv me'ava. Viata, tiso, isoy, gami, zat, sadja, tachshav, shu, oven, mezid, uviz, v'chol, zoy, tiso, lohem, now, tiso, isoy, gami, zat, sadja, tachshav, shu, oven, mezid, v'chol, zoy, tiso, lohem. Okay, the words, I don't really have a good translation, but basically it means remove everything entirely. V'zeyye alidei how shetikach toiv. Shetikach l'negdoi tuv ha-ma'asim ha-zuchuyos sin, like everyone else says. V'gam hitav v'chazal, sh'avoyin atzma yisapech l'zuchus v'yosim v'an ha-zuchuyos ad sh'avoyin yisapech l'tov da'as aveir itzal will turn into a zuchus and not for that person. According to the Rambam, according to the Malbim, we have a very beautiful interpretation of why the whole process of tshuva and elul. You have first 430 days of teshuva leading up until Rosh Hashanah, and then you have the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Why is there a two-step process? According to the Malbim, it's very good. According to the Malbim, it's not just one. It's just one long process, one long continuous stretch of 40 days. It's a two-step process. Everything you do during Elul is teshuva meyira. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. It's yira. Then when you come from the Aseres he made teshuva after Rosh Hashanah is over until Yom Kippur, you're doing tshuva all over again. Nochamo. This is the second pasuk. Now that's tshuva me'ahava. It's the second step.
So it's interesting that he seems to relate the tshuva me'ira with harata. Now, if you did something wrong, God had told you you shouldn't do it. How can you do it? You're gonna, you know,
you're gonna be struck down.
Get your karma back.
Right.
Whereas Shuva Na'ava or Ma'aseh Tovim, he gave you good things to do. This is, you should be grateful. This is a Ava.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. It's much deeper. It's much to appreciate what you have, not just be afraid of punishment. It's not a matter of the punishment. It's a matter. It's a matter of
like presence from him, of Ma'aseh Tovim that you can do.
Something, like opportunities.
Money, you're in debt. First you have to break even. You move your way up.
And then you make profit, right?
Then
but
you make profit.
That's exactly the same. You can say what you want to say, but it's a very fascinating idea. Tshuva is a two-step process. You do it once, and then you do it again. And you can't skip steps. The first time is Yira. It has to be like that. And the second step is Ava. Yeah?
We say Tshuva, Tfilah, Tzedakah, Mazim, Mitzvah, Gzeira. Which Tshuva is that?
Well, that's Rosh Hashanah, so you're only in the Yira. You're only Yira. And Yom Kippur, then you
say Yom Kippur again.
Then it's then Ava. So it means both. So it depends. And it's not the same. When you say Tshuva, Tfilah, Tzedakah, and Rosh Hashanah, it's Tshuva, Meira, according to the one. I'm suggesting taking the Rambam album, and then Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be Yom Kippur, it's going to be Tshuva Me'ava. It's a two-step process, and you can't. The Rambam says, how do you become a Talmud Chacham? So it says, when a person starts a child, you give him incentives, you give him candy, then he gets a little, you buy him shoes. It was a big luxury to have a nice pair of shoes. You incentives. And then when a person gets a little bit older, you give him kavod. You give him a title, smicha, you call him rabbi. You call him rav. And then you go through life. And then when you get to the very, very end, you'll learn Torah l'shma. By the time you're 90 years old, you'll learn Torah l'shma. And the commentators on the Ram, this Rambam say, this is the way it has to be. You cannot skip steps. Any 13-year-old kid is telling you, I'm learning Torah l'shma, is a shaita. There's no such thing when you're 13 years old to learn Torah l'shma. You're learning Torah because they're giving you cover, they're giving you money, they're giving you rewards, they give you a friend, pressure, there's peer pressure.
You feel good.
Don't think that when you're a child you can skip the steps and you can learn Torah l'shma. You have to go through the steps. You first have to be bribed. You do things for the wrong reasons, with the ultimate goal, mitoch shaloi l'shma, ba l'shma. And you can't skip the shaloi l'shma. You can't skip the steps. I saw recently a fascinating thing about the Mila being a rough. Who said this? I read this recently, really blew my mind. He says it's a gewaldige profession to be a rough. Why? Because when you become a rabbi, now, for the first time in your life, you have to make believe that you really care about people. So what's the big motto? If you're not a rabbi, it's not my problem. I couldn't care less, this guy, that guy, guy in the hospital, guy, this guy, that. I'm a rabbi. It's my job. I make believe. I go, how are you? Hello. How are you feeling? What can I do for you? When you become a rabbi, now you have to make believe. But guess what? Guess what? And then, after a couple of years, it rubs off. You really do care about people. You really come.
That's why it's called a flock and shepherd. It's a shepherd taking care of your flock.
After you make believe for a period of time, it rubs off, and you sincerely come to care about people. So it's a gewaldige thing to become a rabbi. It's a process. It's a process of personal growth. If you're not going to be a rabbi, you'll never care about anyone. Now that you're a rabbi, you have to make believe, but you're on the right path. Because after a couple of years, you really will care about people sincerely. Amazing insight into the human psychology.
Who says this?
I don't remember. It's in my mind. All these things percolate in my mind. I just can't remember who says what. Yeah?
The word chanun, in English we say to be gracious, but what it means is to give somebody more than what he deserves. Chanun is more. In Shemona Esrei, it says, Chanun Hamar Bildesloach. It says it twice. It says one, it says Chanun by Das. I don't know why it says it, but I know by Chanun Hamar Bildesloach, you know what more than what you deserve is where your Aveira becomes a mitzvah. That's extraordinary. That's the Chanun.
To come to such a level. But that's the second step process. Second step of it. Now let's go listen to the Malbim. The Malbim says, Shalom Fonim,
it seems that. Use the word shuva when you say you're used twice But there are other instances where they're paired.
Okay.
Like Shuva Laiva, Shuva Alek,
okay.
Or Shuvi Shuvi Hashula Mis, and so on.
So it's not Shakasha. Big deal that says it twice. It's a style of writing.
There is such a style.
Absolutely. Ayin Panim L'Torah. Absolutely. There is such a style of repeating the word twice to emphasize the point. No one says what the Malam says. The Malam is a modern commentator. He lived, how long did he live? He lived very recently. Did he come to America even, the Malam, for Tikkun time? When did the Malam live? No, so far back? It was in the 1800s?
What is the
Rashi Tevot
Malbim?
What is Rashi Tevot? I'm embarrassed, I don't even know.
We'll find out.
On the first page, it tells you all Mepharshim.
Here it is. 1809 to 1879.
1809 to 1879. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not that far.
Compared to Rashi,
almost 1800.
In the 11th century, compared to the Radak, the 12th century, the 13th century, compared to the Mitzvahs, which was what, the 17th, 1600s, the Mitzvahs? I don't remember when, whatever. Okay, so let's go further. Let's finish up the Malbim. Unshal mafanim sevasein ritzon elaymaki batchila shlo nasa. What?
18th century,
also pretty recent. Unashalmo fadim sevasenuits in the Lemaki, but Hila Shlonasa called the Alban Rak, Hoshav Isa Kimirsho Bashagi, but Dino Yukayov, Lavi Padim, Lukarban Al Shagi. It's very similar. Originally, the obligation to bring Kurbanis. We have in the parentheses, Shat Sibo Shachotu, Idea Shikas Hirosh, Shikham Lavi Par Hadis Al Kol Shev Shevet, the Par Helim Dover, Shal Sibo for the entire Klal Yisrael, Avalata Shatavir, and Gamez as a Shagi. Now that you're going to do Teshuv for the Shagig. Nishalem tachas pori hachatos bedvarim sheinoymar bisvaseinu. Now through our tefillos, we're going to bring the equivalent of a korban. Umefarish mohim advarim sheyomu bisvaseim. The nice leading now into the next pasuk. So what he said over here is pretty much consistent with what everyone else said, and the next pasuk is going to tell us what exactly we should say to Hashem. Okay, we're out of time. There's more. We're not finished with this pasuk yet. Not just yet, because I want to go do with you the beautiful chida. Okay, the chida. And maybe a little, one or two things over here tomorrow before we go to pasuk Dalet.